We welcome in on a Wednesday morning our good friend and County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's another wonderful day here.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
Every day.
A very late meeting last evening, and I see that the press didn't cover the meeting too bad.
That's why we have you on Wednesday mornings, because in case of situations like that, we can hear what happened, and we know it's a very busy time for both the Bloomington City Council and the Monroe County Council. The City Council meets tonight at 6:30. Please remember that at the Showers Building. The County Council got together last night. Tell us what went on, because I would think plenty of things.
Right. To begin with, we had a lot of public comment having to do with annexation, and even though they know that we can't vote on that, it is an opportunity to get the information out to the public. And there's so much to be covered. There's no way to do it within the period of time we have. But I will say that we had our fire departments there who that provide services out in the county, and they are very, very concerned. And other people representing them through the townships and so forth. One of the fire department, fire chief from Ellisville, they provide services for all of Richland Township, and then they also do services in Van Buren, as well as Van Buren comes over to the Richland Township, and they all do this mutual aid, including Perry Clear Creek and Bean Blossom. Well, they're all going to lose a great deal of revenue in order to provide fire services. Well, one might say, well, what difference will that make if the city comes over and they're going to do it? Well, they still have to provide those fire services for people who are not being annexed in that
county. Which is the majority of the county still.
Well, and let me just ask this question, Marty, because all these things are coming at us fast and furiously. Didn't we just pass a public safety tax? Isn't that going to fix all that and help all that?
Well, now the public safety tax, because the city's going to have a much larger proportionate share, there will be very little money to assist in other ways, that the county's even losing the money, that a great deal of the money that we thought we would hire additional road deputies. We're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars there of what we voted on that we thought we were going to have, the city will then have, because of the way it's tied. The city will be collecting a great deal more of the local income tax, because their property tax levy is higher, will be higher, and that's how you collect the income tax, even though the city council was told at the last meeting, when a city council member asked about it, the city controller told the city council it was decided and distributed according to population. That's not how it's distributed. So they were given incorrect information.
Would the public safety tax have gone through if the annexation would have been before it?
Oh, don't you think somebody kept that very quiet?
Well, I don't know. That's
sure
why I asked
sounding,
these questions.
It's sure sounding like it on a lot
so
of different levels.
You get one on top of the other. That's pretty good.
Right, because now everybody in the entire county is paying into this public safety tax, and most all of it is going to be going into the city. I'm not saying all of it, because the county will still get some, but not near what had originally been anticipated, so that when we were promising the public, here's what we're going to do with it, with the county share, we will no longer be able to do, and there are those at the city level who knew that, but of course did not tell us. So that doesn't make us all real happy. But if the Senate Bill 381, which is going to be heard again today, it was heard last Wednesday at the state level in local government committee, and they were going to make some changes to that, and it will be heard again today. If they would change the date on that so that it would be effective earlier than July 1, and if it would cause the city to then have to take a pause and do it in such a way that it would they would then have to provide financial implications to all the other taxing units, as well as to the taxpayers. I mean, my goodness, the taxpayers, they've got to be just shaking their head if they're paying any attention. Hopefully they won't just wake up and get a bad tax bill. But if this should pass, then the city would have to provide additional information, not just how they're going to receive more money, but how others will receive less. And that's important to the people out there who are counting on county government services or township fire services or something. So that's going to be another meeting on that today. So we'll hear what the amendments are going to be. And then this evening or later this afternoon, there's a meeting of the Redevelopment Commission here that oversees so much of that money in Richland Township. And so I'm going to try to be at that meeting to see if they have determined what kind of loss that's going to be there. Although I think right now all we're going to be hearing is we know there's going to be changes, but we just have not had an opportunity to see just exactly how it's going to affect everything. For instance, there was an MPO meeting, the Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting last Friday, and that's where they decide how millions of dollars, how these dollars are going to be allocated and where the projects are going to be. And they were trying to show a map of, now this will be in different areas. But they don't know exactly how the dollars are going to work right now. They're going to be working on that. My hope is the city council will hear all these questions, know that what has been presented to them isn't going to give them all the answers now, that people are still trying to arrive at answers, and they will say, yes, we agree, we need to slow this process down. Let's make sure everybody knows what we're doing. When you have city council members that say, there's so much information, they have not had an opportunity to review all of it, then let's take a chance to review all of it. And I know that the big push is to get it done before July 1 because of the Senate bill that's
Tell us the number of that again, Marty.
381.
It's Senate Bill 381.
Thank you.
And now, that doesn't mean that bill has passed. So it's just being worked on Senate, and then it would go to the House. So for those
What if the bill didn't get passed, Marty? Let's just start there.
What if it doesn't get passed?
Correct.
Well, then they will just annex, and we'll all find out what's going to happen afterwards. But remember, it's not just the property tax that they will be capturing, the city will be capturing, but they'll also capture a great deal more local income tax, which it is a much larger portion of our general fund for many counties because we've put so much emphasis on removing reliance on property tax and moving over to income tax. So they'll get more of that. That also means the libraries and the townships and everyone will get less because it doesn't mean the pot of money is any larger. It just means the city's going to get a bigger part, just like the public safety tax. They'll get more of that. They'll get more of the excise tax and the commercial vehicle tax and the financial institution tax and the riverboat gaming tax. There's all these other revenue sources that's not just property tax. And that is how we've been operating the local government. We know that it will affect our schools as well, because if they do not receive, if it hits that circuit breaker, which we expect many, many, many properties will hit that property tax cap, and then they don't have to pay any more than 1% of their assessed value, and nobody else does. That just means total revenue loss to the schools, to the library, and all the other taxing units. So I have contacted both schools to say, please take a look at this. See how this is going to affect you. And I don't have the numbers, but hopefully they will have the numbers so they'll know how to weigh in on this. And see, we do know that in Fort Wayne, when they tried to do it in Fort Wayne, this annexation, it was stopped because their school was going to have to give up providing bus services for students. And that's when the parents did finally pay attention. As you said, Margaret, not everybody's listening, but
I'm astonished at the people who don't know this is going on.
Right. Well, we'll find out. I mean, if it does affect the school transportation, there'll be a lot of parents say, oh, I better start listening, listen up here. But one of the things that the fire department that services Richland Township, that's this whole west side over here, they're going to lose about 30 to 33% of their revenue to operate. Well, there is just no way for them to provide the services that they need to for everyone else who's in Richland Township, and they still have to provide that service. So if you're not being annexed, you still have to have fire protection. So the same thing with Van Buren Township. We're told that it's estimated that Van Buren Township will only have about as much money left to operate with their assessed value as Bean Blossom, a volunteer fire department. I mean, that's huge. And we count on that agreement that we work with Richland Township, also fire department, and Van Buren Fire Department, and Perry Clear Creek. Same thing's going to happen with Perry Clear Creek. If they come out and capture all that assessed value and grow there, then how's Perry Clear Creek Fire Department to operate? And these are things I think the city has a responsibility to understand.
Well, it made it sound like they're going to hear all those angles of how that's going to happen tonight at their meeting as these presentations start and continue.
You made a comment earlier, and I didn't get a chance to ask you, Marty. You said that when the city's controller spoke to the city council, he had made the comment the money was going to follow the population, I believe was what you said. If I did not say that correctly, please correct me. And you said that was not correct.
Right. So, now, we're talking about local income tax.
Thank you.
That local income tax, the vote on it is tied to population. The city controls it because there's more population in the city than there is in the county, so they control whether or not to raise that tax or lower the tax or whatever, but it's not distributed as far as money. Once a total pot of money comes in, it's not distributed according to population. It's distributed according to how much of a property tax is. Let's go over to the property tax side. How much of a property tax levy each of the taxing units put in place, that is how they come up with the proportionate share that they get out of the income tax.
Oh, my
Lord.
Try
to break that down and make it easier to understand. It's just the more taxes that the city puts in place, higher their property taxes, higher their revenue is, they then get to pull out more of that income tax and everyone else loses. The library, the townships, the county, everyone at the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department, everyone who gets income tax will get less because the city is going to get more. And that is something that was essential. This is a big piece of the puzzle, and their controller gave them the wrong information. Now, that's not acceptable.
Wow. That is, I think I understand it because we've talked about this stuff so frequently, and I do understand what you're saying, how it's calculated, but boy, I'll bet majority of the people out there listening were just like, huh? You know, that is a complex formula.
Right.
That is a complex formula.
Part of the presentation made at the state level when they were doing the Senate Bill 381, I have a copy. I had them send me a copy of the presentation, and one of it says that all of the revenue sources, which are the major streams of revenue, that local government finances built upon, that it's unilaterally claimed by the cities at the expense of every other taxing unit. That's the county, the schools, the libraries, the townships. And even it even will affect other municipalities, which would be Hallsville. They all lose out in an if the city would annex, because it's tied all that together. Now, we all knew, it's no surprise that they would come out and annex some of this.
Oh, yeah, no, there's some of it, it makes total sense. Those islands of various areas, it makes total sense that they would do that. And even some of the stuff to the west and to the south makes sense. But what they did here, wow.
Right. When you are increasing the footprint by as much as they did, then it's shocking. It is just shocking. And there's no way for us to be able to get the information out quickly enough. And I'm telling you, we do have some citizens are getting very active in the area that's north, let's see, northeast. I think that's Area 6 that they're talking about. Now, those folks are getting very active.
What about Area 51? How's that going?
I'm
sorry, that's an alien joke, Area 51, that everybody talks about.
He's being a
goofball. Well, I can be a goofball because some of this is goofy. And also, Marty, some of this is there are some businesses out there who I believe hopped in county areas to say that they would never be a part of annexation, and that might not be the case moving forward either.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a very big jobs question because we have some big employer base that do not have to stay here in Monroe County. They can move their jobs elsewhere. They don't have to keep them here. They do it here. They love Monroe County. We love them. We love the jobs they create. But let me tell you, if they get stuck in the A, how many times are they going to stay here? If we care about that, we've all got to stand up, because do you work in this area where there's job creation already? Does your family work there? Are you concerned that there will no longer be the opportunity to grow those jobs there? Because if that tax, which has been mostly on the west side, we'll have to say that, because that's where that growth is going. But if you put that city tax on top of all those other taxes and make that the highest tax rate in the county, because remember that school tax rate is on there, and we have a very high school tax rate. Doesn't mean the school's getting the money, but everybody there is paying that tax for the school tax, but it's going into this pot of money that's the TIF. But if you incorporate all of that into the city, and so you've got that big city tax sitting on top of that other big tax sitting there, there will be a whole lot of people hit the circuit breaker. Remember, those businesses, they might have to pay up to 3% of their assessed value before they hit the circuit breaker.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want that money? That's the answer, right?
I beg your pardon?
Why wouldn't you want that money? That's part of it, isn't it?
Well, why wouldn't the city want it?
You're right.
I can see why the city would like to do that, but it's all a balancing act. It does no good for the city to come out and try to grow and think everyone's going to prosper if they run off our businesses.
What do you want to hear at the city council meeting tonight? What would make you wake up tomorrow morning, look at it, and see everything? And what would be the best outcome, or one of the? What do you want to hear that's gonna say, oh, okay, this has got a chance?
Okay, what I would like to hear is that the city council understand better the loss of services that the city residents will receive, having to do with. For instance, last night we had to discuss long and hard whether or not to allow the prosecutor to go ahead and fill an open slot for the victim assistance. We have all of these things the county has to do. The city doesn't do it. We have to provide everything having to do with the justice system, and this is going to cut back on all kinds of programs and things
and
that
Marty,
we just have to do by law. So I'm hoping that the city council will understand that. Perhaps the prosecutor will go talk with them in private, because or not in private. He used to be on the city council. He has friends there. People have to get involved, because they cannot come to the county council and ask for extra money when they need to understand that our money's about to get cut off. So it's my hope that the city council will say, there are so many questions here, we want to slow this process down. We don't want to say, yes, go ahead. It's like, oh, no, we think we might want to know what's in this before we say move ahead.
Marty, you're talking about things like the schools. I understand why those are county monies, but when it comes to something like the library and, frankly, the sheriff's department, why aren't those broken up into kind of like the city pays for part of it and the county pays for part of it? Can you explain to our listeners why they're set up the way they are? Because it makes no sense to me.
Okay, well, the tax rate for the library, everybody throughout the county pays the same tax rate against their assessed value. It's the same tax rate throughout the county. But what would happen is, if we hit the circuit breaker and there was property tax loss throughout the county, the library would have that loss as well. And if there was income tax loss, where the city gets more and everybody gets less, the library would receive less. So that library is financed through everybody in the county. Now, as far as jail and all of the justice system, that's also paid by everyone in the county through property tax. But we also rely so heavily on that income tax and that other revenue that the city will be getting a bigger
portion. Yeah, 11,000 people or so would be off the county's rolls, correct?
Well, We would still have the same assessed value. We would still try to put the same property tax levy, because we're obligated to do the courts and the jail and whatever. It's just we won't get all of that levy, because there's going to be a lot of people who hit that property tax cap. And then the bigger portion of that loss, I would think, would be through that local income tax. And that's not even... We haven't even got into the fact of how much our highway department is going to lose, not just through local road and street dollars, through motor vehicle highway dollars, through the MPO dollars, all of that, we will see some major losses. And so the kind of services that we're accustomed to receiving out here in the county, we will not be receiving. But our county highway department will have to see a major reduction if this goes through. So
interesting.
I'm not sure. Did I answer your question? We're out of time.
Yeah,
we're
part
out
of
time.
Because
we can go back to it.
That's for sure. We'll get caught up every Wednesday, Marty. We appreciate the update from your meeting, and your meeting is kind of going to be predicated on what happens at the city council meetings as well. 6:30 tonight, free parking around the Showers building, again, where the farmer's market is as well. Meters will not be on. 6:30, if you'd like to make your voice or opinion heard or hear what's going on, they'll have a big, long meeting tonight. And then you guys are back in 2 weeks. Is that right, Marty?
Right, although we have on these meetings today, we have an RDC meeting late this afternoon. I have to watch what's going on, the Senate bill, which will be happening today, and then later on the City Council meeting, and then there's a lot of other meetings going on where we're trying to play catch up. We've got to remember, the city has known about this for how long?
I don't know.
We're just now getting hit with it. It is a lot of work trying to play catch up, and we're trying.
Well, keep us up to date every Wednesday morning. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.